Hello, we are Angela Benjamin
and David J. Lilly,
and we are both jewellery designer makers who spend every day surrounded by shiny things.
We are both passionate about jewellery
and love learning all we can about jewellery making and sharing what we've learned with you.
Perhaps you're a jewellery lover or creative type, or spend your days at the bench like we do.
Whichever it is, we hope you'll enjoy our sparkling chit-chat, our silly stories, and our thoughts on living a creative and slightly dusty life.
With a few laughs along the way.
You can find our podcasts on all your favourite apps, including, of course, the biggies, Apple, Spotify, and Chrome Podcasts.
So if you want to know who we are and share our passion for all that glitters, then stay with us for the next 30-ish minutes.
This is
Ange
and David with Little Gems on Jewellery
and Life. Hello, Ange. Happy New Year from Canada.
Hello, David. Happy New Year from damp West London.
Oh, sorry. As you can hear, as everybody can hear, I've got a cold, but I still wanted to do this, so I might be coughing and wheezing and sounding a bit like Muttley the dog while we're doing this, but we'll carry on anyway. So how was Christmas and how was New Year for you?
Christmas was nice and relaxing. I took the opportunity to completely switch off from any making, and I'm in the process of working on my collection for my jewellery scholarship. So I spent most of Christmas designing and drawing and putting ideas together. So it was very, very nice.
Excellent. So you didn't take the time to relax and actually not do any jewellery. You decided to focus on jewellery.
Well, kind of, yeah, but very different approach for me, because whenever I make, I tend to throw myself in at the deep end, grab my tools, grab some metal and start formulating ideas three-dimensionally and physically. So I'm trying to switch my way of thinking. I know we've had this conversation before about my semi-fear of drawing and putting, you know, marks on paper and designing that way. So one of the goals I've set myself with the scholarship and ultimately with the collections, actually to design it in drawing form as much as I can, and then from that use that as a springboard for my actual physical pieces. So it's been actually quite nice, and I use the time to not only draw but go and look at things that inspired me and helped to sort of inspire the collection. So I've been to a few lovely exhibitions and went to the B&A, and actually I went to, I know last time we met up, or probably a couple of times ago we met up and we sort of explored the jewellery room, which I did again, but I also went to some rooms that I've never been to before, and I go to the B&A so often, so it was lovely to see something fresh. So I saw a couple of rooms, one which focused on sustainable design. So some was furniture, they were sort of quite large scale pieces, they were more functional pieces like homeware, you know, new washing machines or hoovers, but using different bits of equipment, lots of things that had been innovated during lockdown. So technology that helped with, you know, people overcoming COVID or various hospital related illnesses over that period. So it was really inspiring, because I'm all about sort of sustainable and ethical design. And then I also had a fabulous tour, which you may well have done, of the Barbican. I did a walking architecture tour of the Barbican, which was absolute dream. It was chucking it down with rain. I got very wet, very cold, but I didn't care, because I was having so much fun. Had a really lovely guide. So if you haven't done it, I would highly recommend it.
Actually, I haven't. As much as I love the place and as many times as I've been there, I have never actually been around I've never set time aside, I should say, to do that. So yeah, that's definitely something I must do. Though talking about touring kind of mid-century modern, we've done a bit of that over here.
Okay.
So as well as kind of like jetting around all over the place and zooming up and down California, we went to Palm Springs. And I've never been to Palm Springs before. And I had a slightly kind of jaded view of what Palm Springs was. And I was really pleasantly surprised. Yes, there is lots of money. Yes, it is predominantly kind of retired, early retired kind of population there. But because of the temperature of the place and the amount of rain it gets, it allowed for some amazing architecture. Mm. And there is a driving, because it's USA, rather than walking, because there aren't that many pavements.
Yes, they don't really do walking, do they?
Correct me if we're wrong, you American listeners. If you do lots of walking, let us know. Let us know where you walk to be inspired. We did a driving tour of Palm Springs properties that were from the mid-century modern. And you get a little map. Ta-da! I know the listeners can't see it, but I'm showing Ange the map for $5. And you drive around. And they also do a little, if you haven't got time to do all 80 places, then like here's a highlights tour. And so we did the highlights tour. And you can't get into the properties. I mean, there are certain properties that are open at certain times of year, but this wasn't one of those. So you just drive by, you can stop, you can photograph. And some of them were absolutely stunning. And even ones that weren't included that we saw, really interesting. Lots of inspiring shapes. And one of the most peculiar ones, which is open, but not while we were there, the Elvis honeymoon house, which has its own kind of circular drive that goes up the hill towards it. And it does look like a kind of alien spaceship that's kind of waiting to take off or just landed. It was really quite amazing.
So did Elvis actually go on honeymoon there? Is that why it's called that?
It was the house that they owned, apparently, or he owned. And it apparently it's quite fascinating inside. Some of the ideas that were put together were beautiful but impractical, such as the cooker, which is something like an 8 or 9 burner cooker, which has an island in the centre of the kitchen. And it has all these burners around the side of it, but all the controls are in the centre.
So you burn your hands as you make
absolutely. Yeah. So, yes, a design oops, I think, in that one. But sadly, we didn't get inside it. So that was that. But the other thing that really inspired me, the way that you were obviously delighted by the Barbican, was a book I found at the tramway station, which is part of the modern tour. And it's called Concrete Screen Blocks. And that's probably going to put a load of people off thinking, what the hell is interesting in concrete screen blocks? But if I show you the cover or the back cover, you can get an idea of what I'm on about.
Lovely.
So being a child of the 60s and 70s, say that with a little more irony, please.
No, that to me is joy. You know, there's lovely
I know.
Architectural shapes. I know, you always do. Lovely geometric shapes and concrete. What's not to love?
Yeah, absolutely. And I saw this book and thought, oh my God, this is amazing. And then I saw it was $40. I thought, ooh, that's a lot for a book. And I thought, no, it's not. This is I'm excited by this book. Spend $40. And as well as it having loads and loads of photos of properties all throughout Palm Springs and details of the architects of the properties and of the companies who made all these different blocks, it then lists 250 different styles of blocks at the back. So it's got all these different shapes in. And so I've been doing some designing, just pulling out the ones that inspire me, which was probably about a dozen or so. And I was just doing some basic kind of sketching around those. And I've put that aside now, and I will come back to it at some point, and kind of like develop those ideas, because I'm really liking this idea. And also, I'm looking at doing something radically different from me, which is rather than actually creating this in wax, which is what I thought I might do, carve it in wax, then having cast in silver, is actually learn how to do some 3D modelling, 3D model these, and actually have them cast directly into silver. Which I didn't know you could do.
I didn't know you could do.
You can have 3D cast, 3D printed, whatever, silver, 925.
Fantastic.
So that's one of the projects that I'm going to be working on that was inspired by my visit to something concrete.
Yeah. It's interesting how we both visited concrete spaces.
Yes. Oh, the joy of grey. Yes.
I know. But that's the thing. No. One of the things I really loved about the Barbican and or learnt that I loved was, yes, it's this massive grey facade. But with the original design, they wanted to impose texture to give that greyness depth. And a lot of the sort of, I don't know, almost like dimpled effect that you see on the exterior of the building was created by builders or craftsmen, I would say, drilling into the surface. So that was all done manually. They started with smooth, I know, and the scale of it.
Yes.
And it's a technique that is, according to our guide, now virtually illegal worldwide because it damages the integrity of the cement. So unless it's done perfectly, the concrete is then rendered unstable and then makes the building, not so sound. But these people that did it back then were, height of their craft. So they've done all these lovely surfaces. And there's also different layers of texture as well. So you've got a lot of that deep kind of stucco effect. But there are also areas that they've tiled. So actual tiles, because the original idea was based on marble. And it's from a sort of medieval stroke. I'm not sure with all the different periods, but it was bringing sort of brutalism into a modern sphere, but using lots of historical influences. So the external facade has got some similarities to old style castles and turrets, that echo the remnants of the London Wall, which surround the building as well. So it's fascinating. I could go back and listen again. It was just wonderful.
Fab. I shall definitely have to do that when I get back. One of those things that, for whatever reason, has escaped me so far. So that's Christmas to New Year done. Have you been back to Morley? I am
in full swing. I'm actually at Morley 4 days a week now, which is quite intense. So I'm doing further adventures in stone setting, which is great. So I'm learning to set stones, but actually carving the seats for them, as opposed to using ball burrs or using electrical equipment. So our tutor Russell says, if you had to set a stone and there wasn't electricity, what would you do? Fair enough.
Oh my god. So you're carving with gravers?
Yes. So I've got a nice little collection of gravers that I'm building up, and also hopefully learning how to shape my gravers, because I'm left-handed and some of the tools are set up for right-handed people. So Russell is great. He's the tutor. He's going to show us how to actually shape our tools so they actually fit our hands, which sort of makes things a lot more bespoke, which would be great. So I'm doing that, and I'm also doing different jewellery workshops, and this term I will be dabbling in some photography as well, so product photography and portrait photography. I've got a sort of seemingly endless list of things that I'll be covering within the next 3 months, all with the aim of completing a collection by the beginning of June. So that's the date I've been given for my show, which is quite exciting.
That's not that far away, really.
No, please don't say that. That's not what I'm... Every time I tell someone that, they say, that's not that far away, and the sort of fear and panic sets in. But yes, I'm trying to keep myself on track and working to a plan. But I'm actually really enjoying drawing, which, is good. One of the great things that's come out of this for me. Because you know how phobic I was when we
you
met.
Were, true.
I think it's all about trying new things and not seeing drawing as just putting a pencil to a paper. For example, today we were using techniques like making collage in order to, show your design in some different form. Layering different types of paper, making models. I've made lots of small-scale models of elements of my piece.
Nice.
I'll hopefully be incorporating into my work. Apologies, that ping was me.
Is it? Okay, don't worry.
Sorry.
It's okay. It's really lovely to hear you talk enthusiastically about drawing, because we had that, I don't know if you remember, we had an afternoon at the Goldsmiths having lunch and then drawing and sketching and things. And that was a really fun afternoon.
It was fun, but I was petrified, wasn't I?
You were.
My pencil hovering above this pure white page. But no, I'm actually really enjoying it and sort of seeing not only my sketchbook come to life, but my ideas taking shape. So I've got a real springboard for where I need to go. So yeah, it's all good.
Brilliant. So how many pieces are you making for this collection? And what are they, what's the makeup of the collection? Have you decided yet?
I have. I'm going to be making a collection of cuffs, two different types of earrings, rings, and a brooch pendant piece. That's all I'm giving away at the moment. That's going to be hopefully the pièce de résistance. And possibly another sculptural form, which will tie in with that. But that's if I have time, because I have set myself quite a sort of wide spectrum in terms of pieces that I'm going to be making. But I think if I can keep to a schedule, a lot of it will be putting those pieces together, which is coming back to the whole brutalist thing, a lot of what I know of brutalism, it's block forms arranged in certain ways or certain sort of developments of blocks. So it's almost like puzzle making for me. If I can make all these small pieces and then figure out how to integrate them, I should be able to get everything and done on time.
And they said these are going to be gem set, I assume, seeing as you're doing gem setting.
Yes, two of the rings, I'll hopefully be making three rings. Two of the rings will have gemstones in, and one of the earrings will have a gemstone in, and the pendant will also have it. So I'm looking at sourcing gems specifically with colours to complement my collection and the idea behind it, but also the shapes, because, you know, I love geometric shapes. I'm actually looking at getting some gems cut bespoke for this little project, which is really exciting. I've never done that before.
That is.
So,
Do you know someone who can do that for you?
Yes, I have contacted a lovely lady called Fiona. I don't know if you know Fiona from Wise Fig Jewelry.
Yes, I do. Yes.
And she also has her company Wise Fig Gems. And the reason I chose Fiona is because she sources ethical gemstones. And I'd spotted a couple of gems on her Insta feed that were sort of offset geometric cuts, which I was drooling over. And so I knew, I'm hoping we'll be a match made in heaven. Probably be her worst nightmare. But yeah, I've sort of contacted her. We've exchanged emails. So I'm really excited to see what she'll come up with for me.
Yeah, she does do some amazing gems. She really does. I think, I don't remember how long I've been following her, but yeah, Wise Fig.
I think you might have posted one of her gems on your feed or something, and I think I followed her after seeing, you might have said, oh, Ange, you're going to love this stone or something like that.
Possibly.
But yes, so that's hopefully how things will pan out. It may change a month down the line or 2 months down the line, but I'm trying to stick with the plan that I have. One of the great things about doing all the courses at Morley is I'm being exposed to lots of different tutors, which is great, but they all have slightly different ideas, all of which are wonderful. But I'm a bit of a sort of jewelry magpie. If I sort of see something, I'll go that way, and see something, I'll go the other way. And I'm quite easily influenced by different ideas. So I'm trying to take what I can from them, but stay on track with my basic idea.
It's always the way to go, isn't it? And just to have that opportunity of thinking, actually, something popped in and suddenly you become even more excited by a possibility that never came through to you in the first place.
Exactly.
Cool. Well, talking about gems, I've discovered that over here in Vernon, where I am now, in Vernon, British Columbia, Canada, which is where we're going to be for a month, a lapidary group.
Ooh.
So I'm going to make contact with them. And I mean, they do have, you know, membership and everything else, but they have a calendar of events. They do workshops during the day, in the afternoons. You know, they have a lot of stuff going on. So I thought, well, just get in touch. Tell them I'm here, see if I can be a remote member or whatever, you know, for the moment, and, you know, see what's going. Because I think they've got something on this evening. In fact, I seem to remember from, I found on Facebook.
So will you hopefully have access to their sort of studio and be able to cut stones with them? Have you figured out how it all works?
I honestly don't know at this point, because I only discovered them about 3 or 4 days ago. Just purely by chance.
Oh, fantastic.
So it's something that I've got to, you know, take some time, which I'll do later today, because of course it's still the morning where I am, even though you're in the evening.
I keep forgetting. How many hours behind are you? Still eight?
Eight hours behind. Yeah. So that's quite exciting to have found them. But also yesterday when we arrived, Vernon, we went to the Vernon Community Arts Centre, which I had been in contact with already, saying, see, you run workshops. I run workshops in the UK. I do them in stained glass. I do them in jewellery making. Would you like me to come be a volunteer tutor for you? And so after saying, why on earth are you coming to Vernon? Question mark in the middle of the winter. They said, yes, please. So went and met some wonderful ladies yesterday. We were literally walking up to the place and this woman came out and she goes, oh, you're the famous David Lilly, aren't you? And I thought, what? Where has this come from?
Your reputation precedes you.
Oh, clearly. Yes. And she said, oh, we've been watching you on TV. I said, oh, what? You've been watching all the glitters? She said, yes, it's on over here at the moment.
Oh, yay.
Which I didn't know. Yeah. So she was lovely. And she was actually originally from Birmingham, moved over here 25 years ago, and involved with the Unity Arts Centre as well. So we had a really good chat with her for about 5 minutes. And then, okay, well, I've got an appointment I'm now 5 minutes late for. But there's a good excuse. And walked in and met these absolutely charming people in the place. I mean, Karen, who is the organizer who I'd been in contact with, and the technician there in the stained glass studio, Tricia, who was an absolute hoot, who'd been doing stained glass for years. And she doesn't do leaded stained glass, which is what I've offered. But she does copper foil stained glass, she does Tiffany shades, she does glass bead make and slumping. She's off now for the rest of the month in Hawaii, I think, on holiday. But when she gets back, we're going to have fun playing with bead making and slumping glass and just kind of seeing what mess we can make with bits of glass and kind of where it can go. So that's going to be really fun.
So will you be running the class with her, David, in tandem, or doing your own thing?
I'll be running the class and she'll just be there as a kind of support if needs be. Because they don't run any workshops unless there's a technician at hand as well. So this is why I'm now doing it on the 4th and 5th of February, back to back. The 4th is already booked up, which is why I said, then let's do them on the following day. Fantastic. So hopefully they can get there.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun. But it was such a wonderful reception and everybody was so inviting. And, oh, you must be this person and that person. Okay, you're doing the RNIP. Okay, so you need to see these. And this is the person who does the RNIP for Vernon. And that, you know, it was very much a community hub for more than just art.
Right.
And it's a fantastic place, an enormous studio for stained glass.
That's fantastic. And is that quite close to where you're staying?
Yes. We're literally 10 minutes drive from it. So that's very handy. As well as doing stained glass, they have a pottery studio. They have three drawing studios. One is particularly put aside for people with learning disabilities. And they run workshops throughout the week, every day. 7 days a week. They also have a shop where people who actually work there can sell their own work, and a percentage of the sale goes through to the actual community centre as well, or the percentage of the profit, I should say. They run artists' competitions. So there's one at the moment that's running, which is called Colourways, which is to have as much colour as possible. And February's is grayscale. And so they are now moving into actually people showing work that is all in different kind of grayscales, in whatever medium they want to as well.
So the competition's sort of throughout the whole college or the whole school, whatever your discipline, you can enter. That's such a lovely idea.
Yes, it is. And they were also saying that they are getting lots of calls for people to make jewellery, but they don't have the facilities and they don't have anyone who can teach it. So if we do end up living in Vernon, I've already said to them, I'd be very happy, you know, to come and run those for them as well. Because I get such a buzz out of doing it here. So it's going to be even more out there.
And with your celebrity status, you know, they'll be flocking, hammering down the door.
Well, hopefully. Bring more people in. It's good for everything. But they've changed their executive board director or whatever it is, from the woman who we met outside, she's now retired, to another woman, Shauna, who we met inside, who was equally lovely. And they now have a drive to actually really promote arts in the area, in that in the Okanagan Valley, which is where Vernon is, there is no one huge overarching kind of arts opportunity. Some places have smaller ones, as Vernon does, but they're really kind of trying to say, right, let's become the centre for the Okanagan. Let's produce more opportunities for people to get involved in the arts. So not necessarily singing, dancing, acting, but, you know, the arts that we love. When you're actually, you know, putting pen to paper or soldering something or blowing something up or all those kind of things. So I shall get back to them later in the week and popped back down. I think once I've got my cold sorted, start doing some work there. Because they've given me the space. They said, well, you know you know how to work. Show me everywhere. Come in, play around, make whatever you want to make. If you want to make some stained glass, great. If you want to sit here and design. I said, well, I'll come in. And if you need me then, if anybody, you know, wants, you know, comes in and says, can someone help me? I can be there.
Fantastic.
So I'm going to give them a few days every week. And then when Patricia comes back, we're going to go hell for leather, throwing glass into the kilns and seeing what we can come up with.
And so are their facilities all great with kilns and things like that?
Setup is superb. I mean, they're very lucky. They have a large flatbed kiln with a huge kind of door that opens up on top. And then they have some smaller ones that were donated to them. An enormous selection of over 180 moulds were given to them for slumping glass into and onto. And something like 3,500 rods of glass that someone said, oh, I've got these in the barn and we don't really want them anymore. Would you like them?
Like you do.
Like you do.
Oh, that's great. Sounds brilliant.
Yeah. So I might not be doing much jewellery making, but I know there are some jewellers in Vernon, in and around Vernon, so I'm going to make contact with them now that I'm here. But I'm definitely going to be kind of playing a bit with stained glass, and I've got some designs I need to do anyway for clients, so I shall be working on those. So I shall be kind of posting things of kind of where I am and what I'm doing, and all the mad people that I'm working with.
Fantastic. Yeah. Great. Sounds like you're going to be very busy.
Yeah. I think we both are, aren't we, somewhat, for the next few months?
Yeah, but it's good. I think for both of us, from what I can gather of you, we like keeping busy and doing lots of different things and not sitting still.
Yeah, no. I can't. I mean, the only time I can sit down and watch a film is in a cinema, because then I have to.
Yes.
Otherwise, you know, I can sit down and watch a film at home, but I have to do something else at the same time. I can't just, you know, oh, this idea pops in my head and then I have to scribble something or get my phone out and check it. And, you know. But that's us. Anyway, we have been yakking for nearly half an hour already, would you believe? So we need to tell people who we want them to look at on Instagram, don't we?
Ooh.
So who is your Instagram person this time? Or shall I go first?
I don't mind going first. I do first of all, go back to Fiona at Wise Fig Gems.
Yep.
For both her jewellery, but also her wonderful lapidary, if I'm saying that word correctly, skills.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, I want to name drop Adie Toch. I don't know if I'm pronouncing her name. She's both a jeweller and a silver goldsmith. She has a beautiful piece in the V&A, which I'd seen on Instagram and saw in person. But in the V&A, they have an audio interview with, I think it's pronounced Addie, and she's describing the origin of the piece. I'd either highly recommend following her. So it's at Aditoch.
Yep.
And I think she is Turkish by descent, because the piece, she was referencing Turkey a lot. I could be completely wrong, and apologies if I am. But yes, her work is absolutely gorgeous. So if you can go to the V&A to see that piece, it's on display. I think it's been donated to the V&A, but her work generally is fabulous.
It is. I've just found her on Instagram, Aditoch_metalwork.
Yes.
And yeah, really gorgeous pieces.
Absolutely stunning. Yeah. But getting some background into her work as well is wonderful.
Yeah, she looks her work looks fantastic.
Yeah.
I should look at it with more time. Okay, so I am going to go with, now I'm going to get this lady's name mispronounced. It's Maria Eugenia Quartan Grazza or something like that. And her Instagram.
Apologies, Maria.
Yeah, apologies, Maria, for absolutely annihilating your name. Even without the cold, I think I'd have annihilated it. Anyway, her Instagram account is Eugenia, Eugenia, _VSCNCLS. Now, what I love about her is she's a jewellery blogger. And so I find lots of different work by different people, some of whom I know and lots who I don't, that's there. She loves contemporary art jewellery. And it's just an amazing collection of things that can send you down all sorts of rabbit holes. They're like, oh, that's wonderful. Who made that? And there's always, you know, a link in each of the posts as to, you know, who made each piece. And then you can kind of go follow them and so forth. And Yeah, it's definitely one worth following, Eugenia. I think she has a really good feed, and I've always enjoyed each piece that she puts up.
Brilliant. And
she posts fairly regularly, usually one a day or more. Mm-hmm. So there's lots to see on her feed. So if you don't know Eugenia, that's one to go look at.
Wonderful. Oh, and it looks like she's based in Portugal, and I'm off there next week. So,
are you?
I am indeed. Fabulous. I'm having a little beano for a week, little R&R before I come back and hit the ground running.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, enjoy that. I hope you have a fab time.
I will, definitely.
Are you going by yourself and saying sod off to everyone else?
Or? I'm going with him indoors, so yes.
Okay. So he has to behave himself while he's over there, give you space.
Yeah, definitely. But no, we sort of gel quite well when we travel. We do a bit of cultural stuff and then a bit of relaxation as well. So try and find some interesting things that will inspire my work as well as just chilling.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well, have a wonderful time. And I will see you then in a couple of weeks' time when we record the next podcast. Sometime when you're back from Portugal, you can tell us all about what you discovered over there.
Definitely. And I hope you'll feel better soon. And I can't wait to hear how your first day in your new school goes.
Yeah, that'll be fun. All right, you take care.
And you too, David. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the episode and come back to us another couple of weeks for the next one. In the meantime, also thanks to Alfie Amadeus for the amazing track, Octopi, which is our theme music. See you soon. Bye-bye.